From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Just a quick bookkeeping note for the show. Tomorrow, 1 o'clock, second hour, you heard the big news just a moment ago about the Upstate Economic Revitalization Fund, the Rochester Finger Lakes being one of three regions chosen for that $500 million award, and some of the people who are helped shape that proposal and will help shape the way that money is spent going forward. They'll be joining us in the 1 o'clock hour tomorrow. So if you want to talk more about that, we can do that tomorrow on this program. But first, let me tell you about our connection this hour. It's made in the last time the mail carrier dropped off your mail. And a question for you. Did you leave anything extra? Did you think about it? A few bucks, a gift card, something else for the holidays? How about your hairdresser? How about your child's teacher, the UPS or FedEx driver? Well, the subject of tipping etiquette can be sensitive and precarious, and this hour, we're looking at holiday tipping from a number of different perspectives. And we'd love to hear from you if tipping impacts your earnings, or if you tip extra around the holidays for anything. We'd love to hear from you this hour. The number is 844-295-TALK, toll-free 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI right here in Rochester, 263-9994. Let me welcome my guests for the hour because we've got a lot to talk about. And my first guest is someone the kids just know as Miss Cynthia. Miss Cynthia is a certified international youth etiquette consultant and the founder of the Refinement Studio. In our parlance, she's kind of an etiquette coach. Is that fair enough, Miss Cynthia?
That's fair enough.
Well, thank you for being here. It's nice
to
have you.
Thank you.
Katie Libby's here. Katie is a longtime local restaurant server. Katie, nice to have you.
Thank you for having me.
And Lorraine Varis is here, the owner of Lorraine's Dominican Beauty Center. And Lorraine, nice to have you as well.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, you know, this is a subject that actually got a little uncomfortable at times the last time this came up. We talked about it earlier this year on the etiquette of tipping in general. Holiday tipping is a little bit different, and I want to start with our etiquette coach in the room, Miss Cynthia, because there's a lot of different rules, and we've got a lot of different ways we can work through this hour. What's a general rule of thumb for you about holiday tipping?
Generally, you want to tip individuals who you have a long-time relationship with. So if you're going to see the same hairstylist, or you have the same person who is waiting on you in a restaurant, or you have a dog groomer, those people you're going to tip anywhere from 10 to 20%, and the more close the relationship, the more work that they do, perhaps you may give even a little bit more than that. Teachers and professionals kind of fall in another category. You're more often to give them gifts as opposed to dollars, but the tipping list is awfully long. And actually, I will post it so individuals can find out exactly how to tip and who to tip.
We called Miss Cynthia this week. I think you said right when we called you were working on a blog post about this very subject, which we had no idea. So we'll make sure that we'll link to that as we go throughout the day here. I think it's also important to point out right from the start, and I know this is where it can be sensitive as well, everyone's income level is different. Everyone's means are different. So,
absolutely.
You know, we're not sitting here saying everyone must do the same thing. A lot of it depends, Ms. Cynthia, on what our own means are, right?
Absolutely. People do things from the heart. And the level of tip that you receive or the level of gift you may receive has a lot to do with the kind of services you provide. So the more you provide service, the more they feel your heart and your intent to do the best job you can, that will be reflected in a tip or a gift. But you're absolutely right, Evan. People do the best they can with what they have, and so we don't judge what we receive, and we receive it graciously. There are some industries that don't allow tipping, however, and that's just something you kind of have to work around, or you could give a gift, but generally that's the rule.
Or there's some industries that claim not to allow tipping. Let me just say, we talked to a number of people before this program in the last couple of days, a number of mail carriers. I know, mm-hmm. I know a number who are really great people and I think would have liked to come on the program, but there's a little bit of concern that if you're a mail carrier and you're talking on WXXI radio about, or WEOS radio in the Finger Lakes, about the idea of tipping, that you're advocating for it, and that bosses, managers might frown upon that. At the same time, though, I'm going to leave something for the mail carrier, Miss Cynthia, so they can't ask me for it, but we're going to sneak it in there.
You may leave it. Actually, the United States Postal Service doesn't allow for monetary gifts. Monetary gifts, but you may purchase something, give them food, some mittens and maybe warm socks. I don't know what you would want to give your letter carrier, but they don't allow them to receive financial gifts.
All right, maybe my mail carrier is listening to this saying, stop talking about this, don't tell them. But if I leave a gift card in that mailbox, I'm going to tell them I don't want it back. You know, you don't have to take it. You can find someone else to leave it in their mailbox, but It's not coming back to me.
Well, it goes back to, I want to give you this gift for what it is that you do 12 months out of the year, winter, spring, summer, fall, animals that want to attack you, gates that, you know, lawns that may not be, you know, they're going through a lot. It's difficult to do what they do. And so people are appreciative that they get those letters and those cards and those gifts to them. You graciously receive what people are giving to you. And it kind of goes back to that, just being grateful and knowing that people are doing things from the heart and it's not asked for. Mm-hmm. It's just something that people give. It's okay to accept that. And it's okay for the mail carriers to accept that, because I tip mine.
Yeah, all right.
I do. And it's because I am grateful for what he or she does for me.
Same with UPS and FedEx. If you've got a regular driver, it's sort of in that same category. Before I go to our other guest, Ms. Cynthia, one more question that came up already this morning on Twitter from some of our listeners who wanted to know, am I supposed to do something for my child's teacher?
Yes, you can. Generally, teachers fall under that professional category where you don't give monetary gifts to them, but you could give a gift from your child. So find out what your teacher likes. Find out a little bit more about him or her and what they would really like. Most people give gift cards that may be for a teacher's store or things that will help them with their supplies, but it's okay to give them a gift. You just don't want to give them cash.
Okay. Now, we've got a couple guests in studio who can probably tell us a little bit about tipping. Katie Libby, that's easy for you because you're a longtime local restaurant server. That's built into what you do, right?
It is, yeah. So in terms of tipping for the holidays, it's not something that's necessarily expected.
You mean extra tipping.
Right? Exactly. Right. You know, so if I have regulars in the restaurant, they're tipping me on a weekly basis. So I'm not necessarily going to expect something more around the holidays. Do they do it anyway? Of course they do. There are some people that do. There's some people that bring us cookies and, you know, bring us gifts for, like, everyone in the restaurant. But I wouldn't say it's necessarily expected. I don't expect it.
Would you estimate a number of all your regular customers? I'm sure you've got a lot of regular customers that you've gotten to know over the years.
Yeah.
What percent of those customers will tip higher or extra this time of year?
I would say probably 60%.
All right, so more than half.
Yeah, more than half.
But you're not communicating to them any expectation of that.
Of course not.
That's up to them. Okay.
What's
the impact on someone like you? Someone whose work relies and whose income relies largely on tips. What this time of year, what's the impact on someone in this kind of an industry?
I mean, we're struggling just like everybody else around this time of year to, you know, get things together to buy presents for our families. And, you know, it's we do, you know, the hourly wage for servers is much less than, you know, minimum wage. So we do rely on those tips to get us through the week and to get us through the holiday season. So it's integral.
And do you think about in your own life, whether it's a mail carrier or someone else, do you think this time of year about the impact on them? And are you more mindful as someone who?
I am definitely. Yeah, I am. And it's, you know, again, like Cynthia said, it's all about that giving nature. You know, it's you're thinking about other people. And I know that, you know, the services that I go to, my hairdresser or anything like that, you know, I'm going to leave something extra for them as well.
So. All right. Well, on the hairdressing side of things, we have Lorraine Veras, who's the owner of Lorraine's Dominican Beauty Center. And Lorraine, what's the expectation? Or again, that's Miss Cynthia's teaching us that word is, you know, we try not to expect anything. But, you know, what's typical this time of year for people who are working for you?
Well, for the salon industry, I feel like it's a little bit different than like the restaurant business, because a lot of people that come in to get their hair done, I feel like at this time of year, right before Christmas and New Year's, a lot of people are really trying to go get presents and trying to get ready for the holidays. So they don't have that much extra to leave as tip. I feel like if they did, they, you know, generally would, you know, but during the holidays is really not, for us, we really don't expect that, which it would be something very, very, you know, overwhelming for us to receive a lot of tips during the time of year, or at least a gift or something from one of our clients. But generally, it's really not as busy like that.
Okay. Any idea how many of your regular customers are doing that this time of year, whether it's just a higher tip or even a separate gift?
I would say like 20%.
Okay. About 1 in 5.
Yeah.
Okay. So a little bit of a disparity there, and you always appreciate it, but you don't look at the 80% of your regulars who don't as, you know, you don't hold any extra.
No. I definitely understand. I know everyone's going through it this time of year. So we are very understanding and very appreciative to those that do leave a gift. And I usually try to set up a little gift bag for my clients, you know, during this time of year, during like the week right before Christmas. I usually just take like a little time and, you know, do a little something for my clients as well.
Okay. Well, listeners, I want to hear from you. Who are you thinking about giving a little extra to this time of year when it comes to tipping? And how do you do it? What's the etiquette? Do you do cash? Do you do gifts of some kind? And how wide a range are you looking at for that? What is your custom? We'd love to hear from you. It's 844-295-TALK, toll free, 844-295-8255. Or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. We'd also love to hear from you if, you know, as we talked to Katie Libby, people whose work does generate a lot of their income through tipping and the impact on you this time of year. Has there been any single moment or single story for you in your serving career where a holiday tip, you know, once in a while you hear those Hollywood stories, and I know they're Hollywood stories because they're not common.
They are Hollywood stories. They're not Rochester stories. But, yeah, it's, you know, I've had a couple times where, you know, it's their tip is the equivalent of their check, you know, and that's just, you just, it gives you all the warm fuzzies, you know, when that happens. And like I said, I mean, generally people are coming in around the holiday season. They just kind of get caught up in that spirit. So, you know, they are tipping you a little bit more, you know, a little bit above that 20%. So it's great. Yeah.
Here's an interesting comment from Mike on Twitter. He says it's selfish for him to tip more around the holidays because it always makes him feel so good. So he was tipping extra on the holidays because it makes him feel good.
Mike, you just
got everybody.
Very nice.
Oh,
yes, very nice.
What's our etiquette coach think of that? What do you think, Ms. Cynthia?
I think that's awesome, but that goes to why people give in the first place. A lot of it is about service, but really it's from the heart, and it's generally received that way. Everyone's face lit up with that thing you just read us.
Yeah.
It's very nice. And it is both ways. You get something out of it as the giver. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, yeah. No question about it. And I'm hearing from a number of people on Twitter as well about sort of some of their considerations for tipping. You know, for example, Eric says, growing up in a rural area, we tipped our mail carrier that we saw every day for years. Mm-hmm. In the city now, I've got a different carrier every week. So, you know, I mean, I know that that might diminish some of the personal relationship. And that can be more difficult if you have less of a regular contact. Same thing. You know, if you had a different server every time you go to a restaurant,
exactly.
And yet you go to that restaurant once a week for 10 years,
right.
You maybe have less of a relationship.
Yes.
I imagine the people who are leaving you bigger tips, Katie, this time of year are the people who know you better.
Exactly. Yeah. They're my regulars. They're here. They're there every week that I'm working. And yeah, so, you know, they're like family.
Mm-hmm.
So you see that it's just like, you know, waiting on your family member and giving gifts around the holidays. So
that's
it's,
true.
Yeah.
I feel like it's something personal, though. Like there's some clients that I get that never tip. But there's clients that always tip no matter what. So it's all very personal, and that's what I would say, you know. Mm-hmm.
You got clients who never tip at all?
At all.
For hairdressing, haircut, hair,
yes,
et cetera?
At all.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought there was at least some kind of a societal standard, if there's not any sort of a law, but there's sort of an etiquette standard to...
I mean, Mrs. Cynthia, you know, obviously said there is.
Lorraine's going, don't put this on me. My customers are listening.
Right. But there are clients who do not tip ever. There are clients who tip very well all the time. And, I mean, we know who you are, so...
So just remember, they can cut your hair to look like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber.
That's true.
But you'd never do that.
No, I would never do that. It's something I don't ever expect anyone to tip. It's always very nice, and I feel very good when they do. It's some people that just don't at all, and mm-hmm. There's nothing against them, but we know who you are, too, you know?
Ms. Cynthia, you want to weigh in there before we go to the phones?
We talked a little bit about this before we were on air. You also want to be aware that there are individuals here from other countries, and in those countries, they don't necessarily tip. It's not common. It's not practice. So I just wanted to throw that out there because there are those who, this is a new thing for them, coming to the United States and living here, because it's just not part of their customs.
This is a great comment from Tim in Pittsburgh, an email. He says, always tip. your garbage men. He said, I know what we as a family throw away. I know I wouldn't want to pick it up. Amazing how I tip them $20 and all year our toter and recycling bins are nicely stacked and immaculately cleaned out every week. Those guys deserve it. Well said, Tim, because I think sometimes we think about people we leave out. My son even, you know, for one of his first words, he knew the name of the gentleman who come and haul the trash. And he always waved to them. On Tuesday mornings, it's the most exciting thing when he hears that truck rolling down the street. He loves that. And so Tim in Pittsford reminding us. That's a great one, Tim. Let me get to the phones and Bud in Chilai. First up, go ahead, Bud.
Well, I want to touch on the lowest end of tipping. The other night, we went to the Wynton Marsalis concert, and there are a number of people who are looking for a handout. Well, I don't even like to carry cash on me. I usually credit all the time. But the last guy who was there rode up on a bicycle, and he actually put on a comedy act. I told him I don't have any money. But when we sat through the concert, I had money. So I put a $5 bill in my shirt pocket, figuring if the guy's out there again, I'm going to give it to him. And I walked out, and we went back to our car, and the guy rode up on his bike again. And I said, come here, buddy. And I told him, I don't like to be forced into this, but you tried hard with your comedy act. It was good. And I said, you remind me of my son who was in Pittsburgh. And two years, he was living in a basement with dirt floor. I could rescue him. So I just wanted to bring that up.
Bud, thank you. That's a really, it's a beautiful sentiment. And it caught us all off guard with that story, Bud, but that was beautiful. And you know, it is sort of an extension, a little bit of a tangent from the question on tipping, but this time of year, you know, if we're thinking about tipping the people in our lives, we see often giving them a little extra, especially if they need a little bit more around the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Bud's right. You know, we think about the people who don't have anything.
Right.
And that's a complex question. You know, what exactly you do to really help people the most. I've heard from so many listeners, even in the last 2 years, is it good to give money to people who are homeless? Is it good to give money to people who are asking for it? And, you know, I'm not an expert. I don't have a great answer for that. All I want to say is Bud's emotion there reminds us that, you know, sometimes we would drive right by someone and try not to even look them in the eye. And Bud knows personally that, you know, these are our brothers and sisters out there. So thank you, Bud.
Thank you, Bud.
Yeah.
Bud, that
thank
was
you.
A nice story. His heart was in it.
Yeah, no question about it. A number of people are asking a specific question. I'll read two examples. This is interesting. Trisha writes to us on Twitter, this is more of a general question about tipping, but always wonder if you should tip when picking up a to-go order at a restaurant. And here's almost the exact same question. Delton writes an email. Not necessarily strictly related to holiday tipping, but we get a lot of takeout around this time of year because it gets so busy, and I've always wondered what the etiquette is on tipping when ordering takeout from a restaurant that normally serves dine-in customers. I'm going to kick that over to Katie Libby, a longtime local restaurant server.
So we do a lot of takeout at the restaurant that I work at. So, you know, we do take time to put together those orders for people. You know, it's taking time out of waiting tables in the restaurant to put everything together, to make sure you have your bag. Is it expected? I mean, it's nice when it happens. More often than not, it does not happen.
If you, well, see, maybe you're biased here, or maybe just you're, but well, if you're picking up takeout at a different restaurant you don't work at, are you tipping?
I am tipping on a takeout.
And are you tipping the same percentage that you would on a dine-in?
You know, that's a good question because, you know, I don't. Typically, I don't do the 20% that I would normally do or above, actually. I mean, servers go to restaurants, they always overtip because they know what, you know, they know what their server's going through. They know that.
Yeah, I shouldn't have asked you that question.
I know, yeah. but, you know, it's, I would say, yes, there, you know, there's an effort being made to, it is still serving you food. I do it. I know friends of mine that do it, but more often than not, people do not tip when they're getting to-go orders.
We get a lot of to-go from a Thai restaurant in Penfield, and I'm trying to remember, There's a couple that we like. If my wife's listening, she'll text me the name. But I've gone in to pick it up before. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's not on your mind because you're moving so quick. You go in, they give you the bill, you bring it out. But the people there are so nice. They're so friendly. They put me in such a good mood that I'm reminded sometimes to, pull back. You know, they're still serving.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, it's like you're tipping the driver that, you know, brings your food when you order delivery. So it's kind of, you know, I know they're driving, but it's, you know, I think it's a similar concept. You know, they're transporting the food to you. So, but it's, you know, I think it's very, you know, people just, they do or they don't.
And again, someone like you who works at a restaurant and a number of your customers do take out. You're not judging them if they don't?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No. You know, it's, I try not to judge anyone when it comes to tipping because, you know, like we were saying about the hairstyling, I have customers that don't tip ever. And, you know, you don't know what their situation is. You don't know if they're coming in and they just have enough money to get their breakfast and that's it. You know, that's a very small percentage of customers versus, you know, the bigger percentage that do. So I try not to pass judgment about tipping in general, just because you don't know the situation of the person.
Now, Aaron writes to us on Twitter, obligatory tipping is only a source of awkwardness for me. Why not include the cost in the price instead of relying on bravado? Aaron, interesting question, because next month on this program, we're going to talk specifically about tipping in the restaurant industry and a new trend that I don't know exactly if it's here yet, but in New York City, in the higher-end restaurants, you are seeing restaurants eliminate tipping as an option. In general, they're raising prices, but there's no tipping. Essentially, they're saying no tipping really allowed. This is how it's going to be. You know, Danny Meyer restaurants, for example. We're going to be talking about that trend, what it means for customers, what it means for servers, and whether we're starting to see that here. We're going to have that conversation next month. I'm wondering if Katie Libby, the server in the group, are you aware of that trend, and what do you think of it?
You know, in that trend, I think what they're trying to do is, you know, everyone in the restaurant is going to be making a similar wage. So for me, being a server, the experience, the level of service that I give, it's personal. And it's nice to have that, you know, you can go home making a lot of money or you can go home not making any. But, you know, it's nice to have that option to go home with, you know, making more.
You're motivated to do even better work.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And your motivation might change.
It could change. Yeah. If I was making the same as, you know, the person next to me, the level of service, I feel like it would be affected.
All right, we're talking about tipping and customs around the holiday with our guests. You're just hearing from Katie Libby, who's a longtime local restaurant server. Lorraine Veras is here, the owner of Lorraine's Dominican Beauty Center. Where is that, by the way, Lorraine?
It's right down the street, actually. I think it's like a minute away.
How am I not? I mean, I guess we get in these ruts.
It's right next to the U-Haul on Lake Avenue.
Okay.
110 Lake Avenue.
All right. How long have you been there, by the way?
I've been there for almost 6 years.
All right, very good. And Miss Cynthia is here. Miss Cynthia is a certified international youth etiquette consultant and the founder of the Refinement Studio. Where's the Refinement Studio, Miss Cynthia?
55 Canterbury Road.
And you're primarily working with kids, right?
I am.
How young?
From 5 to 21. I know 20-year-olds don't think they're kids, but young people. So from 5 to 21.
All right, very good. And so they're talking about etiquette, customs, holiday tipping, what we ought to be thinking about, how we might be able to do that from a number of different perspectives. If you want to call the program on this subject, we'd love to hear more from you. It's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. We've got a pile of comments coming in online. We're going to get to those coming up. And after this short break, we're going to hear some of the comments made by Steve Dublonica. Now, Steve is sort of a self-styled tipping expert, and he talked to NPR's Don Gagne about this subject. He had some interesting thoughts on some of the things you definitely do not want to do for tipping, and just the way we treat people in general. We're going to hear some of his thoughts next. Coming up in our second hour, what do these three numbers have in common? 355, 22, and 4. Well, all three numbers have been used to describe the amount of mass shootings we've had in this country this year. So why is that number, and why are the numbers so far apart? We're going to dive into it and explain what it could mean for public policy going forward. That's next hour.
Support for your public radio station comes from our members and from Heart Hearing Centers, providing hearing care for adults and children for more than 40 years. Audiology services include hearing and tinnitus evaluations, rehabilitation, and devices to accommodate lifestyle needs. Details at harthearing.com.
Welcome back to Connections, and Michael in the Finger Lakes is first up on the phones in our second half hour. Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, Evan, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question regards tipping the owners of establishment, if it's the owner of a hair salon, or I had an experience this weekend up in the Adirondacks where I went to a brewery and the owner slash brewer was taking care of me, and at the end, he handed me the square, and my options were 20, 25, 30, or none. And I felt it really weird that I had to tip the owner.
Or that your options were starting at 20%.
Yeah.
A great question. And in fact, Michael, thank you for the phone call. Just before we got to Michael's phone call, that's exactly what we were talking about in studio, and that's where we were going to go. So I'm going to start with Miss Cynthia, the etiquette coach. Tipping the owner or the manager of an establishment, yes or no?
No.
No.
Historically, you don't tip the owner of an establishment, even if they're providing that service, whether it's a hairstylist, I know, I'm looking at you, Lorraine, or a massage therapist, or whatever the service is. If you're the owner of the establishment, historically not. But what I'm finding is that's changing. And so you have some owners who receive it and some not. And I always tell people, remember, if something is given to you, it is given to you out of their heart and out of care, so you receive it. So to Michael's question, he didn't have to, but if he felt so moved, he could, and the owner could receive it because he was receiving a gift. But it shouldn't be expected. It's not obligatory.
Is it bad form for establishments to say, here are your tipping options, and I'm going to give you some numbers, and they're going to start around 20%? Miss Cynthia?
Yes, that's not correct. I don't agree with that way. I have gone to restaurants where they break down the tips for you to kind of help you do the math. I'm thinking I'll see 10%, 15%, 20%. And of course, if you want to go beyond that, you certainly can do that. But no, starting at 20, I've never heard that.
All right. Katie Libby wants to weigh in there.
Yeah. I mean, as you know, servers, we don't like when the dollar amounts are laid out for you. We do, you know, prefer for you to be bad at math and tip over, you know, but you know, at least in our, you know, at my establishment, it doesn't start at 20, you know, I think they give you 10, 15 and then 20, but I think starting at 20, that's a bit
presumptuous.
Yes, very presumptuous. And especially if they're just like, okay, and like standing right in front of you and waiting for you to check off this box, like none. That's so awkward.
Okay. Yeah. Lorraine, what do you think as the owner and manager of your Lorraine's Dominican Beauty Center? What do you think?
You know, this is a very touchy subject for me, because not only do I do the same exact things as my staff does. I'll sit there, I'll wash the hair, I'll do the roller sets, I'll blow dry. I do the same exact job as my staff. So I feel like I should be treated the same way. You know, I have more bills to pay than them. So if anything, I mean, why not? So this is a very touchy subject for me, because I don't expect it, of course, from anybody, but it would be something that I would appreciate.
Okay, so, and actually, that's interesting, because I think we can probably, and I wonder what Miss Cynthia would think, I think we can probably distinguish between a small company, a lot of small businesses. I mean, how many employees do you have?
Six.
Okay, small business, often the owner is making less than the workers for a long time, if not in perpetuity.
Right.
You know, that's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And I think we can distinguish between the owner and a small business who's also doing some of that, the same work that the rank and file employees are doing, compared to a manager, a CEO, an owner in a company, you know, a big restaurant chain, that kind of a thing. It might seem a little different in that kind of a case. Miss Cynthia?
Absolutely.
I would agree with that. And generally, when you're smaller, you're an army of one, which right. I tell people I'm an army of mm-hmm. one, so you're mm-hmm. kind of doing a whole lot of things all at once. So I can certainly understand it in that situation. And
absolutely.
Again, the trend is changing. So people are starting to do that, and it's not frowned upon.
All right, so Lorraine, you're doing my hair? I mean, you're doing people's hair if they go to Lorraine's?
Of course
right,
I
so,
am.
So in my view, if you happen to be the owner, but you're also a stylist. Doing
oh, yes, I am.
Okay, well, then, yeah, I think it's totally in bounds there. I think it's a little different if the owner stops by or is you know, I just think you can probably feel it out and know this is a little strange here, because not every company, the managers and the owners are making a lot more. We know in many companies they are, but not always. Katie, you want to weigh in as well?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you ever went to like Jim's restaurant, which was over on Winton Road, it was this tiny little diner. The owner is just running up and down serving tables. And I mean, she should get tipped for that. You know, mm-hmm. like she owns it. It's a small business, but she's doing all of this work. So, you know, I think there are certain circumstances definitely where that warrants.
And Miss Cynthia?
I just always tell people, when in doubt, ask. It's okay for you not to know, and it's okay for you to feel uncomfortable and not sure what to do. And it's all right for you to ask and say, I'm not sure what I need to do in this situation. Could you help guide me? Do you normally do this or do you normally do that? And I've had people ask me that before, and they're really grateful that you explain it to them, and then they proceed to do what they wish to do.
Absolutely. You know, when you travel, some places might have different customs, especially if you go to Europe and you eat. Americans never have any idea. I've been in that situation, and I've just asked, tell me what I'm supposed to do because I don't want to offend anybody. Mm-hmm. Service is great. They are usually very happy to tell you. Carrie in Rochester is next up. Go ahead, Carrie.
That's a perfect segue to me, actually, because I've been running into these signs lately that say tipping not allowed, which I find infuriating. I mean, if I receive great service and I want to leave, you know, a couple bucks or whatever in a cafe, that's my call. It's my money. You can tell me how to spend it. But can you have your panel talk about how they feel about that? And I will take the answer off.
Yeah, thanks, Carrie. I do see that sign once in a while somewhere. Miss Cynthia, tipping not allowed signs.
Wow, I don't know. I wish I knew where Carrie was seeing them, like what kind of industry. I've never seen one. However, if you're going into an establishment where that is the expectation or the rule, you would have to honor it.
It's hard to be covert in that way.
I have to respect the wishes of the person who's owning that or running that. So if that is their policy, then you have to agree with that policy unless you wait in the parking lot and give someone an envelope, and that might look shady, too.
But
it is difficult because you do want to give something, especially if you've gotten great service, and you know that people aren't making what they should, and it's a difficult industry. But I have to go to the side of doing what's expected of a policy, because that's showing respect to someone's wishes.
Two thoughts on that. First of all, if it's a no tipping sign, like a kind of an establishment, and throughout the year you're not tipping, but at the end of the year, if you've got someone who serves you regularly, whatever the capacity is, maybe you can ask the manager, I'd like to leave a gift for this person. I've got great service all year long. But I also wonder if, you know, this came up when we talked tipping in general earlier this year, the value of just communicating to management how wonderful the service is and how much you enjoy coming back because of a particular person. Katie, that's probably helpful.
It is, definitely.
I mean, I know some people say, hey, that's not money. That doesn't you can't cash that in for anything. But that kind of goodwill can probably help.
I mean, any sort of, you know, any job you do, when someone speaks to your supervisor and tells them that you're doing a great job, like, you know, it just makes you feel good. So it's
even better, handwritten notes, you know, which are sort of going out of style. Miss Cynthia, the etiquette coach, she's going to tell us those are going out of style. But you love a good handwritten note, Miss Cynthia?
Thank you notes. Handwritten thank you notes will get you the world. It takes a couple of minutes. It doesn't have to be intricate. You could simply say, thank you so much for what it is that you've done. You served me a pizza and it was great. If you write it, it just gives so much love to the person receiving it. And in instances where you are leaving a tip, I'm thinking of housekeeping in a hotel, and you're leaving your tip, leaving a little note on the pad and leaving the money there, that goes a long way as well.
Mm-hmm. All right, so some of our listeners are reminding us that a previous caller might have been referring to the suggested tip options often show up on these new point-of-service machines, you know, so you see them in a lot of different places now. And interestingly enough, we talk to people who work in service industries, and they'll tell you, before those machines were in play with the suggested tips, even if it's 10, 15, 20, not necessarily 20, 25, 30. Right. I haven't seen that.
No.
But tipping goes up in a very, very significant way if you simply offer it as a suggestion. No tip or 10, 15, 20, they'll calculate for you. And so I don't have any grudge against any place. I mean, the places I get coffee have that now. If I'm paying with a credit card, I often see that, an option to tip. Mm-hmm. I don't have any problem with that. And if that means that they're getting more tips out of it, that's okay to me. It does not feel in my face to me. Mm-hmm. But thank you to our listeners on Twitter who are pointing that out. Okay, Bill in Spencerport has a separate question on who to tip. Go ahead, Bill.
Hi, Evan. Enjoy your show always.
Thank you.
Just have a question. I deliver flowers 3 days a week. I'm semi-retired. And I don't make a lot of money at it, $10 an hour, but every now and then I get a tip, but more often than that, I don't. And I'm just wondering what other people think of in terms of what the etiquette is with flower delivery.
A flower delivery?
Yeah.
Okay, Miss Cynthia, what do you think? Thank you, Bill.
It is okay to tip the flower delivery person. So, Bill, that was nice that you received that tip. And generally, it's anywhere between $2 to $4, $2 to $5, depending on how many arrangements. I've seen people have three or four arrangements that they're bringing from the car to the place. So $2 to $4, $2 to $5 is generally a standard.
All right, thumbs up there. And if, again, you always, if you can bump it up and you want to around this time of year, I'm sure they'd appreciate it. Kate on Twitter says, I usually received a bonus or tip from my regulars when I was babysitting a lot. I always appreciated it. Well, great point, Kate, because we talk about personal relationships. What's more important than the person taking care of your children?
Your children.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, that should be. But, you know, that person is taking care of your kids. That's a great point, Kate. You know, probably always good to sow appreciation and goodwill with someone like a babysitter. So that's
very good.
Yep, that's a good point. And what I want to do, I want to listen to a couple comments, if we could, from Steve Dublanica. He wrote a book called Keep the Change, A Clueless Tipper's Quest to Become the Guru of the Gratuity. And in his conversation with NPR's Don Gagne, he shared a few stories that he had observed in his work about tips that were spot on, tips that hadn't gone well. And the question of whether you should have a re-gift. Let's say you get something you're not really interested, maybe a holiday party, a gift exchange, and you think, nah, but, you know, maybe I'll give it to a babysitter. Maybe I'll give it to a flower delivery, whatever it is. And this is Steve Dublanica sharing a story with Don Gagne about re-gifting as tips.
One thing you should never do is re-gift, however. I had a hairstylist who had someone bring in a tray of cookies for the salon. She said, oh, I was in the mood to bake, so I thought I'd whip this up for you. So they ate the cookies, but when they flipped the tray over, they saw the note from the woman's boss. It was cookies that were given at a Christmas party. So not only did the woman lie, she re-gifted cookies. So that is going to get her a bad haircut. So don't do that.
All right, Lorraine.
Oh, you guys are trying to make me look
well,
bad.
Well, this was a hairdresser on this one.
Okay.
That's probably never happened to you, though.
That should never happen. That's very embarrassing. Like, I just feel like that's something very disrespectful to whoever gave her these cookies, as well as, you know, when people found out those cookies were not baked from her, you know. That you can't do that.
Yeah. Can you?
Take
that's
the
a
note
no-no.
Off. You know, like
look for the note at
yeah,
least.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, I feel like the etiquette of regifting is so sensitive. You've got to be very careful. You probably should not. Well, let's just put it this way: we should never lie.
Right.
But if you get a gift and you know it's not for you, you're not going to use it. But there are people in your lives who might like it. That's
be
one
honest.
Thing. Sort of representing it as a gift that you thought of and got. That's kind of where I would seem to draw the line. Miss Cynthia, what do you think?
That's correct. I generally tell people do not re-gift if you run the risk of it showing up somewhere else where someone knows someone, just like this story here with the cookies. However, there are times that you may want to give the gift to, let's say, a secondhand place or a Goodwill, people who really could use it. That is okay. And then it's okay to give it to someone who may want it. But like you said, Evan, explain to them, I got this from a Lorraine and I already have one, but I still love this, but I know you like it. I thought I would see if you wanted it. That's okay too. But yes, lying is a no-no because those lies will show up at the worst times.
Yeah, representing it as your own. That's the line right there. That's the line right there.
That's not good.
All right, Laz on Twitter says, can you please, for once and all, let the world know that yes, you are supposed to tip tattoo artists. That's what Laz says.
No.
Says tattoos are art. Thank you. Val, our engineer, what do you think? Tip tattoo artists? She's saying big yes. So Laz, thank you for that note there. So if anybody's out there getting ink, that is art. And you should appreciate that. And Laz, if you want to follow up on Twitter and let me know, what's a typical standard amount there? I have no idea. I don't know if there's any ink in this room. Let's see here. Val is saying 20%?
Yeah.
20% or more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
20%. So there you go. And if you're somebody with a lot of ink, maybe you got a sleeve this year. Maybe think about someone like Laz around this time of year because that art is something that you wear. So there you go. So a lot of different comments coming in, but one theme I think I want to keep front and center as we talk about holiday tipping with our panel is that this is not a chance to just make up for treating people poorly throughout the year. And Ms. Cynthia, what I want to do is I want to play some comments again from Steve Dublonica, and I'll have Ms. Cynthia and our panel respond to this. Again, he's an author of a book about tipping, and he's talking about respect throughout the year. This is what he told NPR's Don Gagne. Let's listen.
Give what you can afford, but also remember to treat all these people with respect throughout the entire year.
All right. Simple, important. Ms. Cynthia, what do you think?
Absolutely. Respect is the foundation, really, of etiquette and making others feel comfortable. And that's absolutely true. I'm in agreement with that. And if you have found yourself not being nice for the whole year and giving an exorbitant amount of money, doesn't make up for that, because sometimes you'll find that. So if you're respectful in each and every interaction, and you're consistent in your tipping if you're choosing to do so, that is great. And part of showing respect is thanking people for the services they provide and treating them as they would want to be treated.
I mean, think about Christmas Carol, right? Everybody was stoked that Scrooge was handing out turkeys and extra gifts, but I think they were more excited that this guy was finally nice.
Right.
yes. Not that this is a real, actual human being, but we can all think of people in our lives. Would you want them to give you extra for this time of year, or would you rather they are nice to you and have a better demeanor all year long? You know, for me, that's easy. I enjoy it when people are friendly. Mm-hmm. But let me ask Katie and Lorraine sort of that question. Your customers, you got a lot of regular customers. You have a lot of regular customers. I'm sure you've got a wide spectrum. That's humanity of people who want to talk, who don't, people who are friendly, who are not. Have you seen any change over the years? Are people friendlier these days or less?
You know, I would say people are on their cell phones a lot more in restaurants.
Oh, interesting.
Now,
yeah.
So
harder for you to kind
server,
of get a relationship with them.
I'm not going to walk over to a table to take an order if they're on their cell phones.
Oh, good
for
you.
Because they're obviously not ready for me to come over and do that yet. So, you know, I think a lot of people, I have families that come in and, you know, the kids are just on the iPads the entire time and, you know, everyone's on their phones. So it's, I would say that going out to eat has gotten a lot less, you know, about the interaction with others than, you know, just kind of eating and staring into your.
Have you ever had somebody complain that you weren't attentive enough because you didn't go over to their table,
yeah,
but they were on the phone the whole time?
Yeah, and I tell them, you looked busy. I'm sorry you were on your phone.
Good for you.
You know, I.
Dining room tables for us are no cell phone zones.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. Because you do see that a lot. Mm-hmm. Phones all the time. That's a whole other show, Evan. That could last a week. That's a whole other show.
I'm not surprised to hear that, though. And so for you as a server, even though you might not say they're less friendly, they're just more addicted to their cell phones.
Yeah.
Is it more difficult to build regular relationships then?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. What a great reminder. Thank you for bringing that up, Katie. And Lorraine, what about you? What have you seen?
Well, Evan, I get to know most of my clients on a personal basis. So I know their personality. And it's something so personal, whether they're friendly all year round or whether they're going through something, you know, at that moment, you know, you just have to kind of get that little sign and say, you know, let me back off today and, you know, or let me let them do their thing. And there are some times that they're overly friendly. So it's something very personal and all depending on what they're going through at that time. Because, you know, sometimes us as hairstylists become more of like counselors to our to our clients. So we kind of know when they're, you know, when they're feeling sad or when they're something's going on, when they're excited about something new. So it's very personal.
Okay. But you've probably got to feel that out very carefully.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We can't say the wrong thing at the wrong time, you know?
Well, that's part of the art of it. And when you have people that you're cutting their hair, for example, are they trying to be on their phones the same way people do it at restaurants, or are they generally not?
You know, at the hair salon, I feel like I see most of the phones come out when they're under the dryers, mm-hmm, when they're looking for something to do. My magazines, I mean, I order them every month and they sit there, to be honest, and I have to throw them away because they're not being used as much now when people have their, you know, laptops or cell phones. It's very interesting just to see.
There's no Candy Crush in the magazine.
Right.
A few minutes left here, and Alex emails to say, thanks for a great conversation. For those of us who don't have a lot of means, don't know if you've covered this, but what are some ideas that we can do in lieu of tipping with cash this time of year for the people in our lives? I'm going to go around the table. We'll start with Miss Cynthia. What can you do this time of year? You don't really have a lot of means, but you want to show appreciation.
Those gift certificates I called from the heart. So let's say, for instance, an hour of babysitting, or I'll shovel your driveway for 2 days, and somebody may really like that soon. Things like that, where you're doing a service, or you're going to get prescriptions, going to go grocery shopping for a day. Those are things that you can do in lieu of money or gift cards, or bake something from the heart and give it to them. But the key is getting to know people, and I think we've lost that, getting to know people so you know what they like and you know what they would appreciate. Because at the end of the day, I think people want to feel like they are cared about and that people appreciate them.
Okay. Katie Libby?
Yeah, I mean, I say the same thing. You know, if you're baking holiday cookies already, you know, you can put a plate aside for somebody that, you know, that you see all the time in the service industry. I think, like, a card, just saying thank you for, you know, for all the service for the year, it's nice. So, again, it's whatever makes you feel good when you're doing it. You know, it's not about the money. It's more about the thought.
How often do you get extra little cards or even little notes from your customers?
I would say just around the holiday time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it makes an impact.
It really does. Yeah, it does. It reminds you, you know, you've been with these people for years. And, you know, it's just like you would send a card to your friends and your family, you know. So it's nice.
Okay. Lorraine?
I say, or even just telling them, you know, I appreciate you. I appreciate your service. Goes a long way. Even, like, for example, I'm going to say this. My children, they always make me these little coupon books. And the little coupon books, they would say, for example, you get a hug or a chore or a massage or just any little thing. And I'll sit there and I'll use them. And I'll even, like, make copies. And they're like, Mom, you know, that's not fair. Like, but it's wonderful, you know, when they do these things, you know, from their heart. Mm-hmm. So anything that you can do from your heart, I feel like would be accepted and would be very appreciated.
All right. We'll end the hour on a strange note, but this is the social media world we're in. Here's a question about whether it's bad etiquette to point out bad etiquette. Brenda reminds us. Brenda writes to say, fantastic show. Your listeners might want to know that there are now social media sites that shame people who are poor tippers. And then she says, I recently ran into a conductor friend who knew exactly what famous Rochester people were on that list. Is that bad manners? Her last question, I think, is asking, is it bad manners to shame people publicly? Katie Libby, Katie's going like, really, you're going to kick this my way? Katie, all right, here's the scenario. A famous Rochester person.
Mm-hmm.
Not me, I'm not famous, but fix somebody in your mind,
mm-hmm.
comes in,
mm-hmm.
you wait on them.
Mm-hmm.
They are a horrible tipper. They're on their phone the whole time.
Yeah.
Is it okay to shame them publicly in any way?
Is it okay? No. Will I do it? Yes. I mean, I don't know.
Miss Cynthia's saying no. Miss Cynthia's going, we've agreed on most things. You don't like it, do you, Miss Cynthia?
I'm not advocating my behavior, but I'm just saying, you know, I've seen it, you know, on Facebook. You know, I saw one time where it was like someone had the total and they deducted money from the total as the tip because they thought the service was so bad. And it's like, well, you can't do that.
No.
That's not legal.
Wow.
You know, so, I mean, shaming is horrible. Don't ever shame, but it happens.
Okay. Miss Cynthia, you don't like it, though.
I'm sorry, no. Miss Cynthia.
It's okay. We don't have to agree on anything. You don't like it.
No. Shaming is no.
I know.
It's not. I understand the sentiment. I understand where it's coming from. But no, we shouldn't. That's a terrible website. I can't even believe that. I'm stuck on the website.
All of our listeners are going, as soon as I stop driving or wherever I'm, I'm going to check that out.
I'm totally going to look it up.
I want to thank our guest, Miss Cynthia. You're going to write up a little bit more about this. Where can we check out your blog, your work?
How about my Facebook page,
actually?
Yeah, there
you go. Yeah, that's where
The Refinement Studio, LLC.
The Refinement Studio, LLC. Mm-hmm. Miss Cynthia is an etiquette coach. Kids, age 5 to 21. And yes, we said kids up to 21. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Miss Cynthia. Love the conversation
with
us.
Thank you.
Katie, Libby, I hope you've got customers who leave you big, big, big holiday
Thank
tips.
Thank you, Evan.
And I know they appreciate your service throughout the year.
Thank you. I appreciate
your stance on cell phones, too, at the table, by the way. Keep doing what you're doing.
I will.
And Lorraine Varis, the owner of Lorraine's Dominican Beauty Center, just down the road from us here up on Lake Avenue. Nice having you. Happy holidays to you and your staff there, and I hope you guys have a great one as well.
Thank you. I also want to offer everyone listening, every Wednesday we'll do free cut or eyebrows for any wash and set. So come by and see us.
Thanks, everyone. Let's take a short break and more connections next.